My name is Brian. I'm Brian Durrant. And with Jason and Pete, we meet regularly as the kind of core teaching, preaching team. And we plan. And our plan was that today we would begin a new series that's going to run for some weeks from based on the book of Exodus. But last Sunday, as we were at the third, and what we expected was the final of our three Sundays on the art of neighbouring, we had a bit of a Holy Spirit intervention. And Pete, Jason, I, Duncan and Lorna, who blessed us over the preceding two Sundays greatly with what they brought and shared, felt that we need to do something different this week. So consequently, we have that title this morning, Why Love? And do you know when Paul prays in his letter to the Philippians, the very first thing he asks for from God for them? I wonder if you know what that is. He says that your love for Jesus would grow and grow. So let's pray, shall we? Would you like your love for Jesus to grow? Let's ask the Father for that. Father, we pray, please come amongst us in the power of your Holy Spirit. Come, Spirit of God, and would you cause our love for Jesus to grow and grow? Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. We pray in his name. Amen. I think we're going to ask Julie to read from Scripture.
The Greatest Love, from Lamentations 3. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. From 1 John 3. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The Greatest Commandment, from Matthew 22. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. The Greatest Invitation, from John 15. He who shares my life and whose life I share, he it is who proves fruitful.
Thank you, Julie. I want to speak to the men for a moment to begin with. Men, I want you to come with me in your imagination. I want you to imagine that you've organized, you've arranged the most wonderful date night with your wife, your girlfriend, your partner, whoever that is. And or it might even be like a holiday on a Greek island, and it's the evening, and you're in that restaurant by the beach, and you're having this wonderful meal with lovely wine, and it's just utterly romantic. And she reaches across the table and takes your hand. Are you with me? Okay. And she looks you straight in the eye and she says, do you love me? Sort of in a kind of rhetorical kind of way. But she's asking, do you love me? And of course, it's easy. You say, yes, I love you. In fact, I probably love you more now than I've ever loved you. Good answer, yeah? Great. It's good. And then she doesn't look away at all. She's not fazed by that. And then she looks at you, she's still looking in your eye, and she says, why do you love me? Why love? And you might, your first thought might be, well, actually, I love your body. Oh, I love your body. Oh. But look, guys, let me give you a little coaching, okay? Give me a little bit of help. You might say, well, because you're beautiful. You're so beautiful. You might say, maybe you might think you're on rocky ground there. So you might say, well, because you make me laugh. Now, That would be great, perhaps, but you're on rocky ground. Let me just give you a little bit of help, because you see, the thing is, she may not always have that great body. You know, the old, you know, laughter lines, the old turkey neck, you know. You know, and you know, she may not always be quite as pretty as she is now, and you know, and she might run out of jokes. So, you know, you got to think very carefully about what you say. So let me help you. What's the right answer? Why do you love me? Well, it might be, I love you, bear with me, because I love you. It's a mystery. I can't explain it. You're on safe ground. You're going to be okay. So, let me ask you. Does God love you? Do you know? Are you convinced about his love for you? Does God love you? Why does he love you? Why love? Why does God love you? I want to take a few moments this morning to consider why, more to the point, consider a little more about God's love for you. The answer, of course, of why he loves you is because he loves you. It's a mystery. I can't explain it. It's who he is. It's who he is. He's a good, good father, and he loves you. Don't ask me to explain why. But let me explain a little bit about the love that he has for you. And firstly, that his love for you is completely unconditional. He loves you utterly without condition. Because you breathe, God loves you. Because it doesn't matter what you're walking through in life right now, God says, I love you. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what's in your past or even what's in your present. God says, I love you. Be convinced of it. It's continual. It's unceasing. In Lamentations 3, Julie read to us so beautifully, the steadfast, that's what it's like, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. It never comes to an end. It's new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And so we sing, don't we sometimes, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I've needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And why is God forever faithful? Because his love is not circumstantial. It's not conditional. It's continual. You know, and sometimes when we sing that great hymn, Great is thy faithfulness, I've been singing since the Billy Graham Crusade in 1966, but that's entirely beside the point. When we sing that hymn here in worship, I don't know whether you've ever noticed this, because of course you're facing forward and you've possibly got your eyes open, but if you were standing where I'm standing when we sing that hymn, something extraordinary happens. And it happens on people's faces, particularly on the faces of those who've been walking with God for some years. They emote. They emote. Emotion rises on people's faces, because there's some history, there's some experience, there's some knowledge, there's conviction. Yeah, God is faithful. God is faithful. Father, you are faithful, and your love is unchanging and unconditional. But it's also real, because it's sacrificial. His love is sacrificial. God, we know his love is real because he's demonstrated it. Romans tells us in chapter 5, verse 8, God demonstrates, it's a practical demonstration, his love for us, in that while we really were totally useless, while we were in rebellion, while we really weren't interested, while we were hiding in the garden, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us once for all. The righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. His love is real his love is sacrificial. He was willing to lose his life to give us life, to rescue us, to demonstrate God's love. You know, within the Trinity, Father, the Father loves the Son. The Son loves the Spirit. The Spirit loves the Father. And of course, I could go on. There is an eternal and transcendent love within the Godhead. And because God so loved us, you, the world, humankind, he saw the state we were in. And he wanted to rescue us. I wonder if you can imagine the conversation in heaven eons ago. Jesus, I can imagine him saying, Father, I'll go. I'll set aside my omnipotence, my glory. I'll put aside my privileges as the Prince of Heaven. I'll take on human form. I'll go to them. I'll let them abuse me. I'll take on their issues, their shame. I'll know their pain. I'll know the pain of separation, of desolation. I'll know the pain of condemnation. I'll take on death. And with his dying words, he cried out from the cross, "It is finished. It is done. Father, I've done the work. I've done it. I've given everything. I hope they understand now how much we love them." This is the greatest love. And what does he ask of us? He asks of us, believe it. Receive it. Bathe in it. Luxuriate in it. Drink it in. Receive my love. And be in the flow of it. Live in the flow of my love. You know, God releases his love into our lives, not only for us to receive it, not for us to hoard it, but for it to flow in us and out of us. I wonder, you know, whether, you know, the release of God's love to you, it came at such an ultimate cost, is to flow in, out, through us. I wonder if you've ever, any of you ever visited the Dead Sea. I had the privilege of going to Israel in 1995, and I've done the Dead Sea. I've done that floaty thing. It's a bit weird. Okay. The Dead Sea is fed principally by the River Jordan that flows into it, and nothing flows out of it. It's at the lowest point on the earth. Nothing flows out. So for millennia, flows in, and only evaporation. So over millennia, it's accumulated tons and tons and tons of magnesium and other salts. And so the sea there is dead. In Arabic, it's the sea of death. It's dead because it's all in and no out. If we're all in and no out, it's dead. But God releases his love into our lives with the expectation and hope that it will flow through us and out. The release of God's love to you came at ultimate cost, and Jesus bore this cost to make you a clean vessel, to make you a clean channel, to receive the flow of his Spirit, his Holy Spirit. He wants to share his life with you by his Spirit, and for you to share your life with him. There's an old song, Graham Kendrick, "I'm being myself in Jesus, and he's being himself in me. I'm being myself in Jesus, and that's the way to be." Jesus said, "He who shares my life and whose life I share, he it is who proves fruitful." What an amazing adventure to share your life with the living God. What an invitation. What an invitation. Look who it is that's inviting you to share in his life and for you to share your life with him. It's not just anyone. It's the one through whom and for whom all things were made. The living God, the Prince of Heaven, the one who flung stars into space, the King of Kings, the Son of God. This has got to be the greatest invitation. Come and let me share my life with you, Jesus says, by my Spirit. He's the one who's saying, receive my love. Be filled with my Spirit. Let me share your life, but not as your assistant, not as your little helper, not just your comfort blanket. Yeah, as a lover, one who loves you unconditionally, continuously, covenantally, sacrificially, who as a lover rejoices over you. Particularly as you discover more and more of what it means to share in his life, his aims, his purposes. But also for him to be the one who is worthy, worthy, worthy of all devotion, all worship, all surrender. One who alone can rightly ascend to the title Lord. You know, when Jesus answered the question in the second part, what is the greatest commandment? Love God. And then he said, and love your neighbor as yourself. He was quoting from the law, Leviticus 19:18. And if you look at it, there are four words that follow. Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Four words. I am the Lord. In other words, he's saying, don't forget who's giving you this command. I am the Lord. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Why love? Why love your neighbor? Well, Duncan and Lorna have exemplified for us the art of neighboring. They've shown us over the last 2 weeks how they've reached out in love, in relationship, progressing from names to acquaintances to friends to cakes to carols on the green. And they've challenged us, haven't they? We've heard what they've been doing and we're challenged. And perhaps many of us may have been thinking, yeah, good, but we're different. I'm different. I don't have a green outside my house to have carols and Halloween parties and such things. We don't have those sort of resources. Yeah, we're different, but we're similar. We've got neighbours. You've got neighbours. I've got neighbours. We have neighbours. It'll be different. Last Sunday, I'm driving home with Julie in the car, and she asked me to pull in to the petrol station with Marks and Spencer's. That's there. And I go, yeah, okay. We're on the Yule bypass on the way home. And when she comes out, she's, among other things that she's needed to pick up, she's holding two big bunches of flowers. And she's probably thinking, I'm going to have a little groan about the amount of money she spends on flowers. You know, I'm a bit grumpy like that. But actually, I didn't. I didn't really think about it. I think my mind was elsewhere. But we got home, I got out of the car, we go into the house, and immediately Julie went out again. Immediately, she crossed the road and she went to the across the road. The neighbour across the road has recently lost her husband, quite surprisingly. And Julie just went in a random act of kindness just to say, V, I want you to know that we're thinking of you. And she's not a neighbour we speak to very often, actually, but it was a random act of kindness. We have neighbours. You have neighbours. What it means to love them is going to be different. But I want to be clear about why love them. If we get the why sorted out, the how is going to be relatively easy. It's the why we need to sort out, because the Holy Spirit will help you with the how. We love because he first loved us. Jesus said, he who has my commands and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and this bit's exciting, and manifest myself to him. I'll show him, I'll show her more of myself, because he shows his love by keeping my commands. Because he's Lord. Why love? Because he is Lord. He's the lover of my soul, my Saviour, but also my Lord, my King, my Captain, my Sovereign. But the amazing thing is that he doesn't assert his sovereignty. He waits. He woos. He patiently seeks your surrender, your agreement. He waits for the word to form on your lips. The word, Lord. Can you say it? Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. As Lord, he doesn't suggest. He doesn't plead. He commands. That's what lords do. For those who will call him Lord, he didn't leave us with a great suggestion or a polite request, but a command, the greatest commandment. He's saying this is top priority. Love God, love your neighbour. Now, it's likely right now that you may not have a very clear idea, a very clear picture in your mind of what in practice that looks like. But what he asks now, in a moment, is for you to stand with a ready yes in your heart. If you have a yes in your heart, that can change eternity. Do you have a ready yes in your heart? You know, love is the first fruit of the Holy Spirit. If you want to grow fruit, I've been growing a bit of fruit this year. What do you have to do? You have to cultivate it. Love is the fruit. Fruit has to be cultivated. So, how can you do that? How can we cultivate love living in a culture of self-interest? Well, firstly, by removing conditions from the love that we would offer. Now, what are your top three conditions for acting in love? Well, they need to be roughly like me. You know, not a different social class, not a different ethnic group, not a different religious faith, not smelling of strange food, or wearing strange clothes, or tattoos. Now, I don't like people with tattoos, especially lots of them. Not someone who has offended me. Not someone I've had a little disagreement with about where we park the cars. Because, you know, if I was nice to them, that might look like I was climbing down or I thought I was wrong. That would hurt my pride. And of course, pride makes fools of all of us. To cultivate love, you've got to throw aside conditionality. You remember that the love that flows into us is unconditional. The love that flows out of us needs to be unconditional as well. Okay, all right, Lord, I'll do something. I'll love them. Sometime. Yeah. Do you know, flip through the Gospels and what do you see? You see that Jesus was quick. He was quick to sit down with the woman at the well who was of another race. He was quick to sit down with outcasts. He was quick to say, bring the children to me. He was quick to go to parties. He was quick to interact with people, to network, to make relationship. He didn't see the labels. He didn't see the race, the class, or the accoutrements. He saw the creation. He saw the person. He saw God's image in them. However, to my old nature, as it were, this person might look very, very unattractive, even though they're my neighbour. God put his image in them. And he loves them. Then secondly, as well as casting off conditionality, we've got to deal with fear. We've got to cast off fear. And I just want to talk about David and Goliath for a moment. Because, you know, David didn't go out in fear. David went out with courage. But he also went out with dependence on God. And he went to the river, which is really interesting. And we, those of us that have been at the Sozo conference the last couple of days, we've been encouraged at one point to think of God like a river, getting deeper and deeper till we can't stand on the bottom anymore. And you know, where did David go for what he needed to defeat Goliath? He went to the river, picked up five little round stones. If you need help, go to the river. Go to God for what you need to defeat fear. Because it's the enemy that breeds fear. And thirdly, so dispense with conditionality, dispense with fear. And thirdly, to cultivate love, think about random acts of kindness. Just be nice for no apparent reason. And if you're really serious about this, perhaps you'd like to adopt the Leah mantra. Oh, what's the Leah mantra? Love everyone always in the power of the Holy Spirit. Love everyone always in the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, that's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. Whatever the circumstances. Do you know, if you do that, it does change things. Changes relationships, changes circumstances, changes people, could even change communities. We become people empowered by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit loves to flow where crazy, unconditional love is going on. And we get to bear the fruit which comes from the Spirit. Jesus says, let me share my life with you, and I will share my power, my love, my presence in and through you, and you'll produce fruit that lasts. Love your neighbor, even your actual neighbors. Well, what does that look like? Don't know exactly, but I've got an idea it might look a bit like this. Think about your actual neighbors. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. It does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Why love? Well, because Jesus said, go and do it. And I'll be with you in the doing of it, always. And he said, whatever you do, or rather he said, whatever you did for one of these, even the very least of one of these, you did it for me. You did it for me. When you love your neighbor, guess what? You're loving Jesus. I confess I never tire of drawing attention to the fact that on one occasion, Jesus went to the trouble of making the same point three times. He told three stories: a lost coin, a lost sheep, and a lost son. And what we see in all those three stories is that the thing that was lost was really precious. The thing that was lost was treasure. And we secondly see that the thing that was lost merited an all-out effort, an all-out search. And we see that when the thing that was lost is found, it merited an all-out celebration. Do you know that when the shepherd found you and brought you home, they were jumping up and down. The party poppers were going off in heaven. Do you know the thing that was lost was you? The thing that was searched for was you. The thing that was found and celebrated over, the treasure, was you. That's you. Will you breathe that in? Will you soak that into your heart and soul? That was you. You're the treasure. You're the treasure. Oh, and forgive me, but so is your neighbor. They're the treasure.